As we begin our new academic year, many consider the whole idea and notion of ability, intellect, IQ even, etc. And they ponder those issues, and that's fine. That's great. God gave us these faculties. So develop them. Use them, sure. But we could ask the question, though, is our intellect, talent, and leadership gift, etc., under the governance and influence of the Spirit and informed by the Word of God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today in this new year, Lord, even kicking off this new school year, Lord, that you have good things in store for those who love you, who look to you. And Lord, we just pray, be that amazing leader that you are in our lives. We make a demand, Lord, on your word, and what you've said could be ours in the coming days, we pray. So speak to our hearts, change our lives, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. So the brilliant academic, Apostle Paul, said, the love of God constrains me or rules me. Now, does anything inform us, or do merely our raw natural abilities rule the day? We read last week how meditation on God's statutes and precepts make us wiser than our enemies and give us more insight than our teachers. So, in other words, we're not left to just our natural ability, though they may be honed, they may be sharp, they may actually be amazing and stellar. But there's something about the person that relates with the Lord, similar to Daniel and his three friends, that just makes them the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, always at the top, never at the bottom. It doesn't mean they're not curveballs. Doesn't mean they're not challenges, trials. But there is something unique based on favor to those that are tapped in to the Lord. Of course, you know, Paul was such a man. And in spiritual matters, it's interesting that powerful intellect will not do for us what humility and the fear of the Lord will do. Intellect is important, but even that in and of itself cannot do for us, again, what humility and the fear of the Lord can and will do. Because through humility and the fear of the Lord, we can actually tap into God's mind and wisdom. Go figure. So, develop our minds? Absolutely. Yet we simply bring all of our abilities, innate and developed, under the reign of our Creator, who's very eager to bless us and promote us exceedingly. So we don't downplay what we have in the natural, but it can be enhanced beyond what you can imagine. And, you know, are you here today highly gifted? Great. That's to be celebrated. Just ensure that Jesus is Lord, and may His rule in our lives trump anything and everything we may naturally bring to the table. So Paul, writing to the church in Rome, touches on this as he describes in Romans 11, 33 through 36. And he begins to describe, even with emotion, almost like it's just something beyond fathoming. But he describes, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond finding out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? And we'll return to that. Or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that we should repay Him? For from Him, and that's key, and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Now, that sounds very similar to his letter to the Corinthians, where Paul goes a step further and answers his own rhetorical questions. He writes this after qualifying, he did not come to them with eloquence of speech and his own superior human wisdom. But in 2 Corinthians 2, we'll jump into verse 6. Paul said, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age. So he's making a contrast here. Not the wisdom of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak what? Of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. That's key. Did you hear that? In other words, who can know it? Unfathomable, unsearchable. Who can know the mind of God? It's almost as if he's saying it's beyond you. And in our natural faculties, that's true. But he qualifies it here by saying, but God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Can you say, but God has revealed? God will flat tell you stuff. He'll communicate to you about life and what's ahead and what he has for you. Who you're to marry, where you're to live, what you should study. You say, does God really care about that? Well, I mean, if he's numbered every hair on your head, I mean, he's intimately acquainted with you and I. Amen? I mean, I'm still claiming my original count, Lord. Just bring it on back. Yeah. No diminishing returns in Jesus' name. He knows every sparrow that falls. So, I mean, you do the math. You're like, well, does he care about this little stuff? Well, it's all little to him. Amen? There's nothing big to him. So I think he is an intervening God, and he wants to be involved. Now, I don't know that you don't think you have to go into hours of intercession. Do I wear the blue shirt or the red shirt? You know, I think you just use your own understanding. But there are some bigger things in life. So we continue here. When Paul said, again, but God has revealed it to us, he goes on, the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, searches all things, even what? The deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might, what? Understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us in human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths and spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they're spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. And it asks the question, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? And you may think it stops there, but no. What's it say? But we have the mind of Christ. Wow. Say that again. But we have the mind of Christ. So here, Paul is painting this picture of the loftiness of God. Yes, he dwells in a high and holy place. Yes, but also with those that are lowly and contrite in spirit. Amen. This is the one to whom I look, he who is humble and trembles at my word. And there is an ability, if we're aware and proactive, to tap in to the wisdom of God versus being limited to what we're born with or not born with. Amen? I mean, some folk feel like, yeah, I feel like I got a pretty good package at birth. Other people feel like, I think I'm one card, you know, short of a full deck. I'm not sure, you know. It doesn't matter. I mean, there is a way to tap the mind of God. That's amazing to me. That's just absolutely remarkable. We have, child of God, the mind of Christ. That's a big deal. We are not on the outside looking in concerning spiritual matters. No, we've been looped in to the daily intel. Glory to God. You know, sitting presidents are presented with daily intel reports from our intelligence agencies. Every morning, it's one of the first things they put on his desk. This is the daily intel report. This is what's going on in the world. This is what's going on in the nation. This is what you need to know. It's classified. A lot of others obviously are not privy to it. And here, Paul is saying that we are looped in. We're looped in. We are informed by the Spirit. What a high value meeting that is. What a high value asset we have if we avail ourselves to his mind. So going back to what we just read in Romans, with all that probing questions, Paul continues by saying, therefore. And anytime you read therefore, you need to determine what it's there for. Like, what's he trying to say? You got to take what's previously been said and then pivot to some profound conclusion. But he had just said, if you'll remember, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, who has known the mind of the Lord, for from him are all things. Then chapter 12 starts with what? Therefore, based on that, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual or reasonable act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, this world system, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Interesting stuff. Now remember, when this is being written, this is the church in Rome. So Paul is not writing this letter to the world. He's not writing this letter to the unbeliever or the pagan. He's writing this letter to the Christian. So for Paul to include the exhortation, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, well, that phrase, any longer, presupposes and infers that they were, in fact, conforming and being molded, or at minimum, potentially so, or it wouldn't have been in there. Like, don't be conformed any longer. Like, you wouldn't just say that in a vacuum. In other words, there was context for it. Either they were being conformed, or potentially so, again, at minimum. So the choice, conformed or transformed? Conformed or transformed? We believers are either being conformed or transformed. The mind of Christ and his vast wisdom are available to any believer, regardless of IQ, regardless of your natural graces and gifts and talent and leadership ability, this or that. It's available. That's encouraging. That means when you consider God, then there's no limitation. Well, I've always been bad at this. Well, I've always kind of, and I understand, you know, that there are strengths and there are weaknesses, but sometimes there are issues that are just merely ready to be prayed through for revelation to drop and for God to help. Would we consider tapping the greatest mind in the universe versus being limited? It's kind of like sometimes when people go to the doctor and they get a diagnosis. And so, I mean, you know, that's fine. But sometimes labels can keep you in a place where you feel it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, that's just what I am. Well, that's me. Especially if you have someone that's real quick to put a label on you. You ever had a label put on you before? Maybe an authority figure or whatever, you know, and it may be true or somewhat true, but there is a court of higher appeal is the point. Amen? So we don't just want to readily accept, all right, well, this is my portion. Well, then I guess they, you know, the doctor gave me this long, I mean, I can't even pronounce it, you know, diagnosis and da da. So I guess that's just who I am. The mind of Christ. That's why I asked at the beginning, is our intellect under the governance of the Spirit of God and informed by the Word of God. Our intellect, is it restrained? Is it informed? Is it being governed? Two ways we gain the mind of Christ. Number one, the Holy Spirit searches His mind and makes known to us His thoughts. Now again, that blows me away. The Holy Spirit, who is God, knows God real well, for He is God, God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But the Spirit of God knows the mind of God. He will take the thoughts of God and make them known to you and I. Wow. Sign me up, somebody. Two ways to get the mind of Christ. The Spirit will reveal it. Secondly, renewing our thoughts by His Word. So therefore, Word and Spirit. Word and Spirit, it's the winning ticket to our operating on all cylinders. And in some matters, in particular spiritual matters, some people's intellect gets in the way. Why? Because it's limited. How many of y'all will admit you're limited? If not, we'll pray for you. All right. We are limited. We are. He ain't. Bad grammar, but you get the point. We're limited. He's not. I think I'm going to go with him. I'm going to inquire. Would you have an opinion on the matter? Do you have a way in on the matter? I mean, when you go in business and choose a partner, don't just do it blindly. Ask. Amen. It's a lot harder to pull a donut away from a 3-year-old once they already have it. Amen. Ask on the front end. God, are you in this? God, are you doing this? Certainly in big decisions. Lord, is this you? And sometimes it's really hard to be prophetic in a matter when you really want something really bad. It's hard to be sometimes objective. But I think if you'll pull back and you'll sincerely ask, He'll help you. But sometimes it can get in the way. We're limited. He's not. Thus we need revelation. Whatever talent, whatever leadership gift, whatever your IQ ability, which is great, submit it to the Lord and His leadership. Watch what He'll do. I mean, you may feel like, I really, by the grace of God, got game. Great. But with that, make Him your partner. He'll take that and accelerate that. That exponential curve will go up. Just think what His anointing will do on top of just the raw materials of what you've already got going. And then the person who just feels like, I'm always in a deficit, well, He'll pull you up where you can get your head above water. And then again, He'll make you the head, not the tail. I mean, there are generals in the faith in church history that could barely string two sentences together, but they knew God. I mean, there's some, I mean, dear me, they butchered the King's English. But they knew God. And when you would sit under them, you wouldn't be thinking, dear Lord, did you get past sixth grade? No, you're tasting the anointing that's on their life. And it's like they've got the goods. And I mean, they could raise the dead. They would have a gift of healing, a working of miracles. They had the stuff, you see. So it's like, I can get past the packaging. I must have the gift that's on the inside of them. Some of them may have been uneducated. Again, didn't have much going on in the natural, but oh, did they dig a well? Oh, did they dig a well? And oh, did they not relate with the Lord in such a way that the Holy Spirit that searches the mind of God brought His mind to their mind and brought them to a place they could have never gotten to otherwise? Hello. I'm telling you, humility and the fear of the Lord will flat do that. It'll just flat get you to where you need to go. Give God a chance. Give God a chance. Dare to ask. Dare to cut covenant. Dare to bring Him in to the decisions. And again, you may think it's too small. Well, it's all small. Bring Him in. He'll grant you His mind. Whatever the talent, whatever the IQ, submit it to the Lord. And in the same way Jesus multiplies the loaves and the fish, He can multiply our abilities when we give ourselves to Him, His wisdom, His insight. I mean, there have been a lot of times when I just happen to be praying that I happen to just get an insight or a revelation. Now, the other times, I mean, you can be in the shower and you're not praying, but God talks to you. One time, well, actually, we were in Pizza Hut when God was talking to us about relocating to Guam. There was just something about that oil that was in that pepperoni that was kind of pulled up. I think the Holy Spirit said, yeah, I am oil, and I like that oil, so let's just go ahead and make it clear right here and now. So, and that's great. Those are freebies based on a relationship that you have. It's a bit of an overflow, which is great. So there are those times you're not even thinking about it, and all of a sudden there's this download that hits your brain, and you weren't even thinking about it. And you're thinking, I know that had to be God, because I wasn't even thinking. I'm not the originator of that thought. I was minding my own business. And then out of nowhere, all of a sudden, God just dropped this in my spirit. It had a tonal quality to it. I mean, that had to be the Lord. But there are other times, again, just it's interesting, the coincidence of it. While you just happen to be pressing in, while you just happen to be reading Scripture, all of a sudden it goes from dead letter to a rhema where it jumps off the page and says, that speaks to me powerfully right now. Not just in the original context it was written, but that's a word for me in season now. And how many of you know, thank God for what he said yesterday, but we need a now word. We need something for today. The man of God came every day. If you tried to store it up, it wouldn't work. It'd get wormy. Amen? And that's why we got to keep coming to the fountain. We got to keep coming to the word. And it's like, well, I know the Bible. Yeah, but he's got something. I'm telling you, with fresh eyes, you'll see something you've never seen before. And God loves you enough that if we dignify him, he'll drop his mind into your mind. Yeah, but I'm a pretty smart guy. Pretty high IQ. I kind of got it figured out. Not God. No. I mean, you may know his ways, but he's inexhaustible. But we can have his mind. And he gladly, if he did not withhold his only son, will he not now freely give us all things? Answers to complexity, breakthrough in where we're trapped. I mean, he'll roll out the path. He's the breaker that'll break open the way for you and I. One time someone that was struggling said, you know, I feel like I'm losing my mind. I'm like, great, go on and lose it. Get into his mind. Sometimes you just got to mock the enemy's lies. When he lies to you, you're losing your mind. No, shut up. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, great. He's depleting me, whatever. Yeah, fine. Now God can work. How many of you know God can work when you're flat? When you're flat, like a pancake. Yeah. He can work when you're on the mountaintop too. Yeah. But the point is, it's like we're in a natural rhythm of downloading his thoughts. We can conform and be limited or think his thoughts and live a transformed life. He is smarter. Do you agree with that? Turn to your neighbor and go, he is smarter. Yeah. Yeah, he is. I mean, you feel like, yeah, I got game. Yeah, well, he's smarter. Tell him, no, he's wiser. Listen to the learned Paul, who had quite the pedigree and, sat at the feet of Gamaliel. I mean, he was very much taught, very well educated, and he came from an elite background. But he said, but it is we who are the circumcisions, who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh. In other words, I've got a lot going on. Praise God for that. But he goes on to say, but though I have reasons for such confidence, and then let me just say this again, sometimes it's harder when we've got a lot going on to depend on the Lord than we don't have much going on. At least the person who feels like I don't have much going on, they know they need God. The person who thinks they got a lot going on, sometimes they feel like I got this. And they're not as eager. They're not as hungry. Hello? Don't wait for a trial to start going after the Lord. Amen? I mean, he'll hear you because he's merciful. But wouldn't you rather just go ahead and invest on the front end so you're on the ready and not caught like a deer in the headlight. So again, he said, he talks about not putting any confidence in the flesh. Though I myself, Paul said, have reasons for such confidence. This is pretty bold, but it was true. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, what'd he say? I have more. That's kind of bold, isn't it? I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider what? Loss for the sake of Christ. For what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Now, did God use Paul's mind? Absolutely. He was a theological giant. But when the Spirit of God took the thoughts of God and put it into Paul's thinking, no wonder he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So he had a lot going on, but he submitted it to the Lord. And then when God breathed on all that innate ability, then, I mean, dear me, you're talking about a force to be reckoned with. I mean, wow. I mean, Will Parker in the back, he works with professional athletes and collegiate athletes, high school athletes. He's a performance coach to help make them better so they can be a little more agile and fragile. They can be a little more fast. They can be a little more strong, you know. And, I mean, you take what he does and multiply that times a gazillion, the mind of God is available, especially the students. It's like, yeah, you're there to do well, to study hard. You have abilities or you wouldn't have been accepted into the program, you know. So you should feel great. I mean, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but you're among the elite, as it were, you know. And I was talking to some today and some about going into the vet program. I mean, dear me, that's NC State's number 4. It was 5. Now it's 4. I mean, all the engineers and all the degrees. I'm glad to know you. I'm a humanities man. I'm down here. I'm more right brain than left brain. And I own it. So I probably pray more. Amen. We know who he is. But I respect the ability. I stand in awe of the IQ, those with great leadership gift. But just think what happened when you subordinate it to the Spirit of God who searches the mind of God while you're informed by the Word of God. You're talking about a 1-2 punch. Come on. Yeah. What might God do, child of God? What might God do with you this semester? Marketplace, what might God do? God will never cause you to be hopeless. He'll always give you faith for more. He'll always give you hope for more. My mother-in-law said a year ago, I'm still on this earth because I've got a job to do. I'm praying for my grandchildren. I got a job to do. When my job is done, then he'll bring me onto the house. But while I'm here, I got something to do. Everyone here, if you're sitting and you have breath, you got something to do. Don't you minimize and belittle your role. Yeah, but I'm a stay-at-home mom. Are you kidding me? Susanna Wesley? Hello? Raising up the next John Wesley, the next Charles Wesley, the next George Whitfield? Are you kidding me? The Bible talks about select arrows in our quiver, and we shoot them to the nations, groomed in a godly home, godly progeny. I mean, one way that we can disciple the nations is just our offspring. Oh, that they would take over. Amen. Godly offspring with a proper biblical worldview. So whatever your station, got something for you. Paul, in this passage, discerned a value greater than anything going on for him by natural standards. He didn't deny him. He's, oh yeah, I got a lot going on. He was even so bold as to say, more than you. I mean, that's just in your face. More than you. I mean, hey, Jethro, you're bragging. Take a seat. That pales in light of what I could say. But in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, I count it as rubbish. And the King James, it uses the term dung. You can look that up. He's making a comparison. It's great. I'm blessed. I appreciate it. But I put no confidence in it. But I want his endorsement on that, because then he'll take whatever I have or I don't have, and he'll catapult me to a place I could not have gone otherwise. I'm telling you, there are things God will do for you. You think, you turn around, if I could have scripted it, I couldn't have written it any better. As long as you stay with him, humility and the fear of the Lord, humility and the fear of the Lord. God's that amazing. God is that good. Listen, the Holy Spirit wants to make known to you God's thoughts, God's mind, his wisdom, knowledge, and insight. How many could sign up for some of that? Yeah. Remember, Paul said the depths of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. I mean, he was getting dramatic. It's like ponder. It's an exalt. The depths of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. But yet he says we can have it. Who understands the mind of God? But we have the mind of Christ. Secondly, we are to renew our minds with the Word of God, which brings transformation to our lives. So are you smart? Great. Take a ticket and stand in line. Many are. I'm smart. Great. Many are. Do you have amazing ability, leadership talent? Wonderful. The world is full of it. But who has God's mind? Who walks in his wisdom? Who through humility and the fear of the Lord has been brought into the deep things of God? He doesn't keep us on the outside looking in. Again, he'll bring you your morning intel report, just like the president every morning, if we want it. Now, if the president didn't show up for the intel report, he doesn't get the intel report. It could just be sitting there on the desk. This intel report could just merely be sitting on the desk. You've heard me say and laugh. People say, I'd die for the Bible. Well, that's great, but would you read it? We don't need you to die for it. How do I start? Just start. Nike, just do it. Just start. Don't start Leviticus, but just start. Who can know the deep things? We all can. We don't have to merely depend on ourselves, for we have the mind of Christ. What brilliant direction might God take you in, child of God? What might he reveal to you? We read it earlier, and it sounds poetic, but it's truth. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for you. For who? For those who love him. Do you love him this morning? Well, then this is yours. This is for you. You're not left to your own devices. You're not left to your own limitation. Glory to God. Do you love him this morning? Then it's for you. God will reveal it to you by his Spirit. So, starting an academic year, great. A lot of people think about ability, intellect, IQ, comparing. Where am I going to land in the class? You know, all that. You know, that's all good and well. But if we subordinate it to the leadership and governance of the Holy Spirit, he'll take God's mind and make it ours. If we honor the scripture, we won't be conformed and limited, but we'll be transformed, and we can then prove the will of the Lord, the good, acceptable, and pleasing, the perfect will of God. It's for the taking. I want the Spirit of God to help me, lead me, direct me, warn me. Well, if you know, God will flat warn you. Sometimes he'll say, prayers up. Something's coming down the pike, just so it can be averted. Many times there were prophetic things saying, but they were conditional on how the church would respond. It could be averted. It could be shut down. You see, he wants to help. He'll give us his mind. That's a staggering thought. The mind of Christ. And even though we don't have it totally in fullness here, we may look through a glass darkly and have bite-sized portions, but it's enough to put us through. One word. Luther in the 1500s, one word, the just shall live by faith, changed the world as we know it. One word. One word can rock your world. Something you didn't know in the natural, but he gave it to you by the Spirit. One word can make all the difference in the world. And on top of that, we have the Logos right here. Amen? So we marry these two together, Word and Spirit. So in all of our commitments and in all of our loyalty, I just encourage us all. Again, you may be here today and you go, I got game. Great. Trust God. He'll give you more game. You're sitting here today and you go, I ain't got game. Well, all the more, trust God. He'll give you game. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've provided us. Lord, I thank you that if you did not withhold your only son, shall you not now freely grant us everything? Lord, I just pray as we're starting a new season, Lord, I just pray for the building of stories and the building of testimonies of those that would dare trust you to see what you might do for them and in and through their lives. If there's just an area or two right now, maybe you're struggling trusting God in, he knows. Just tell him, Lord, I really need greater grace to believe you here and here. And just tell him. And also maybe just commit, or some of you maybe recommit, Lord, with your help, I'm going to trust you in that. That fear, that foreboding concern. I can't figure it out. Ever taken a test before and like, I just can't figure it out? Call on him. Give him permission to govern, to influence. Give him permission to inform you on better things. I'm shifting my confidence like Paul did. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for it, but I'm shifting my confidence to what you'll do with that, which I naturally have. What might you do in my life? To the students, just commit right now, just where you are, the new semester. Say, Lord, I give it to you, and I ask you for your leadership to be strong this year. Do miracles. Give me a story. Yes, I'm going to work hard. Yes, I'll be diligent. I'll be faithful. But beyond that, I invite you in to be my leader. I partner with you and the Spirit of God that will show me your mind. And I say yes to your word. I will not let it gather dust. But with your help, I'm going to commit. I'm going to read and be transformed in Jesus' name.